The Orioles were winners again today. Now 9-2 in Grapefruit League play, 7-6 in Bradenton, Florida, over the Pittsburgh Pirates. Let's head to Florida on the Gulf Coast there and find our friend Ed Encina from the Baltimore Sun. Ed, how are you?
Good, Brett. How are you doing today?
I'm doing okay. It's been a week, maybe, or not even a week, a few days since I've left you there. Has the reality set in that I'm not there anymore?
No. I wake up every morning and I hope that I can see your smiling face once I roll into the complex.
I know the optimism has left the reporters covering the team.
We just got to figure out a way to get by. As Buck says, a lot of times you can have too much want to. So you just got to kind of hone that all in and you know, concentrate on the task at hand. And you know, eventually I will see you, Brett, in a few weeks.
3 weeks from today, opening day in Baltimore. I think the Red Sox made it official today, naming John Lester their opening day starter. The Orioles have not done that, although I do believe it will be Chris Tillman. Although, Ed, Chris was roughed up today. 3 1/3 in Bradenton against the Pirates. 6 hits, 5 runs, no walks, and 4 strikeouts.
Yeah, I mean, sometimes the line's a little bit deceiving. I mean, especially in spring games, you know, I mean, Bradenton's a park that the ball kind of flies out a bit. You know, Sarasota, as we know, is one of those parks, especially out towards left field. And he gave up a home run that probably was a little win-aided. And in that first inning, he gave up, I think, 4 hits, but I think only 1 or 2 of them actually left the infield. So, the line obviously didn't look too good, but I wouldn't be too concerned about Chris Tillman right now, because I think really the goal right now is for him to get his work in to still kind of hone that fastball command. The one thing that he said today that he really was a little bit disappointed in was just kind of, you know, his ability to get some first pitch strikes and get ahead in the count. And, you know, that kind of stuff will come. You know, I mean, obviously, you know, that's something that we know that Chris is trying to work on in terms of, you know, getting those first pitch strikes and not falling behind in the count, because I think that was something that, you know, last year kind of led to some of his issues in terms of high pitch counts and, you know, maybe some shorter outings than he wanted. So obviously that's kind of stuff that he's working on right now. But in terms of the line, I wouldn't get too kind of caught up in it, because we do still, like you said, have, you know, 3 weeks to go here.
If you look at the backup catcher battle between Steve Clevinger and Johnny Monell, it's as competitive as any position battle on the team. It's very obvious, very one versus one here. Mm-hmm. And we talked about this before it started. These guys both have track records for being hitters, the catching and handling of pitching staff, something different. But let's say that's even here. And I don't know if it is or not. The Orioles may feel one is better than the other defensively and handling a staff. But offensively right now, it could not be more even between Monell and Clevinger. And they've been two of the best hitters all spring on the team.
Yeah, there's no doubt that both of these guys can hit. And I think both of these guys can hit at the major league level. And Buck's really kind of, he hasn't held any secret about it, is that he knows that. You know, he knows both of these guys can hit. Both of these guys can have that ability to have a good bat. You don't lose much, when Matt Wieters takes the day off. Now, the big thing is going to be, you know, the guy who's going to win that job is going to be the guy who has the least amount of drop-off from Matt Wieters defensively. So, Buck made that point. I asked him in post-game today. I said, you know, like I say, he's made it perfectly clear that the guy who wins that job is going to be based on defense, you know, the way they throw out runners, the way they call a game, the way they work behind the plate, the way they work a staff, all that stuff. So I asked him, I was like, but you've got to be happy with the way both of these guys are hitting. And, you know, he kind of gave us that look that we see a lot when he's kind of doesn't say much, but, you know, it kind of gives that smirk. And so, you know, he's definitely keeping it clear, and I'm sure he's keeping it clear to both of those guys that, you know, you guys can rake all you want, but really it's gonna take proving to the Orioles that you are not gonna, you're gonna be a guy who is not gonna give much of a drop off when Matt Wieters has a day off. And you know, the philosophy there is, you know, Matt caught 140 games last year, I believe. So, you know, they want to get him a little bit more off time this year, but some DH days and some time off behind the plate. So, and that's going to be key here in terms of finding a guy who you're comfortable with. And, you know, keep in mind that both of these guys are relatively new to the organization. Monell came in the offseason. Clevinger came last July in the Scott Feldman trade. So I think the team's still kind of trying to get their hands around both of those guys and trying to find out, you know, really who they are as catchers. So that's, I think, is probably one of the more intriguing battles of position battles, at least, of spring right now.
And another day, another extra base hit for Jonathan Scope, now hitting .529 this spring. That does not include his two monster home runs in inter-squad baseball.
Right.
I didn't believe it at first, and I still don't know if it's the best idea, but I really believe that not only is Jonathan Scope in the running to be a second baseman on the Orioles by the opening day of this year, but also he's someone who very well could come north with the club.
Yeah, no, you're totally right. I mean, we asked Buck today after the game, Jonathan asked, Jonathan's making this a hard decision for you. And the way he answered it was, he's making an easier decision for him in terms of, that you really can't keep him at this point. So, obviously, he's hitting the ball really well. He's seeing the ball really well. I think that, that's still going to have to play out, though, because the we've discussed this a lot is, I think the one big thing about Jonathan is just him staying healthy. And, last year he obviously missed 2 months with a back issue. And right now he just looks, we've both seen him kind of grow up physically, and he looks like he's really filled out. And the way he hits the ball, there's a different kind of sound that comes off his bat. And that's obviously the growth of a kid who's really still not that, it's still a young man. You remember that this guy was signed, out of Curacao at the age of 16. So even though he's been in the Orioles system for a while, he's still a very young guy. So a lot of those injuries is the organization's kind of attributed to, it's kind of just filling out and growing into his body and stuff like that. So, I think we've discussed it too, is that, you look at his statistics and they aren't, awe inspiring or anything like that.
No.
But, he struggled in the fall league. Like I said, in Norfolk, his stats weren't eye popping by any means. But if spring training matters, numbers matter, then, and they should to a certain extent, especially when you're a young guy who's really kind of trying to make an impression. I mean, Jonathan Scope has probably made as big an impression as he can possibly make and can this spring.
And what's the latest on the Irvin Santana sweepstakes? I know you were covering it a lot just a few days ago, but kind of quiet the last few days. What's the latest?
Yeah, I think it has gotten a little bit quiet. I think that, the Orioles are still in the mix right now. And Dan Duquette said yesterday, he said that even he doesn't know what's real and what's not real. So that was kind of an interesting quote from him. From what I gather, from what I've talked to, the Orioles are still in it. But, maybe there was kind of a flurry of activity, I believe it was Saturday, where,
right,
a lot of stuff just kind of developed, and some of it was real, some of it wasn't real. I mean, the idea of that there was out there that there was a 4 o'clock, 5 o'clock deadline for teams who wanted to match the Blue Jays offer. Some of that stuff was kind of a little bit exaggerated. I think maybe, you could probably make your guesses as to where some of that stuff came from. But, I think they're still interested. I think, there is a 1 year offer still remaining on the table. And I think at this point, it's kind of in that court. So it's an Irvin court to some degree. And, does Irvin Santana make this rotation better? Obviously, yes, it creates a whole new set of issues in terms of what you do with the rotation, if that happens. But, I think that at this point, you just kind of go with it as if something happens, it's a good addition. If it doesn't, you're still good with what you got right now. So, saying that sentence and probably, 4 weeks ago would probably have, made Orioles fans cringe. But with the move that they made over the past few weeks, if you get Irvin Santana, great. If you don't, it's not necessarily a huge, humongous loss,
I totally agree with that. It's not necessary, in my personal opinion. And also, if they were to make this move, it's going to increase their payroll for just this year to about $120 million. To me right now, I think this 25-man roster will look good no matter how it comes about over the next 3 weeks. To me, it's all about that war chest to retain J.J. Hardy, Matt Wieters, and Chris Davis and Nick Markakis,
sure,
at least a huge handful of those guys. To me, that's far more imperative spending right now than adding Irvin Santana here.
Mm-hmm.
That's my
personal
opinion. Yeah,
absolutely. I think that you got it right on there, Brett, is that, you've made the acquisitions, you made the kind of the supplementorial the supplementary, free agent acquisitions now. And now I think it goes back to, internally and trying to lock up specifically a guy like J.J. Hardy right now. And, he really is the glue of that offense. I mean, of that infield, I'm sorry. And defensively, I think we talked a lot about this, is that, you want to lock this guy up and you want to lock him up sooner than later, because the later it goes, there's a team up north that's going to be looking for a starting shortstop at the end of this year, and you do not want that to happen. The worst thing that could probably happen for the Orioles is other than losing J.J. Hardy, would be losing J.J. Hardy to the New York Yankees.
No question about it.
That's going to be something that I think they have to really think about that in evaluating how much they're willing to go in terms of a financial and yearly commitment when you're looking at that, because that is a major, major factor. Because, J.J. Hardy wants to stay here. I think he's maintained that all he wants is kind of a fair market deal. And the alternative, really, is, because the Yankees are going to pay him.
Yep.
So that's the alternative. So it's one or the other. And the Orioles kind of have the ball in their court right now. So, I think it's the time,
hey, we gotta
time
run.
To strike it now.
We got to run, but I really appreciate it. Ed Encina from Sarasota. We'll come back with more next.